From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Ann Schmidt from the Peoria Riverfront Museum about their exhibit, The Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not. It runs through September 7th. Ann, thanks for being with us again today.
Well, thank you for having me again.
And maybe you should remind us, just who was Robert Ripley and what was his role in popular culture?
Well, most of us remember the cartoon, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Mm-hmm. But not many of us remember Ripley's beginnings. He began as a sports illustrator. Before the days when it was common to have photographs in newspapers, he drew pictures of sporting events, and he was a very good cartoonist, and he always had an affinity for the weird and the odd. And Suzette and I were talking earlier about what draws us to weird things, and we decided someone has written a dissertation on it. But I digress. Robert Ripley collected his odd stories, and he eventually published one edition in the newspaper of his sporting column called Ripley's Believe It or Not, weird things that he had witnessed or come across in the sporting world. And it became so popular that he left the sporting world behind and just focused on what was odd, and traveled the world looking for odd things and drew pictures of them. Everything was vetted. Everything was very carefully checked out to make sure that this was not some kind of hoax. And then he presented it to the public, and we love weird things, so his cartoon has had a great longevity. People really enjoy it.
Well, and you know why I know this is that at the exhibit, I was there this past week, you go into a little theater, you push a button, and you see his biography. And I would bet that's a very popular display because everything that you just said was in this neat film. It's like a documentary of his life.
Well, I can tell you how popular the individual exhibits are based on how many fingerprints I clean off or the staff cleans off every day. And that is pretty popular.
There's another popular room where the kids go in and see their psychedelic shadow. Talk about that.
That part isn't really an oddity. It's just plain old fun. It's a room where there's a camera that picks up your silhouette and enhances it digitally with all sorts of weird shadows and visual effects. And it's not just boys and girls. People of all ages love to go in there and dance. It is our new museum fitness program.
So the pieces that are in this exhibit, the components and elements of it, are these all drawn from Robert Ripley's collection or a collection that's managed by his estate now?
There is a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum, one large one in Florida and then smaller ones throughout the country. And this exhibit is a joint project between the Ripley's Believe It or Not museum and Science North in Canada. So Science North really took the items from the museum and picked the ones that would have the greatest appeal in terms of talking about the science behind the odd, and created a fantastic interactive exhibit with those things. So not only do you get the weird things that appeal to all of us, but you also get the science behind them.
I know that at the museum you like exhibits that have an educational dimension to them. So talk a little bit about how the science works into some of the artifacts that are in the collection. How do you employ the science to teach the lesson? How do the two relate to each other?
Well, the hook is the oddity, because people like that. And you could choose to go through the exhibit and just enjoy the odd things. But it's up to you how deep you want to delve. You can read the signage that will explain, for example, the difference between a two-faced calf and a two-headed calf. It's two completely different mutations. It happens in different stages of the embryo's development. So you can learn about that by reading the text, and you can delve even deeper with the interactive computer displays.
The part to me that was the blast from my past were the excerpts from the newspaper. They're in the comic strips years ago, and these were blown up. Do you find that the adults are enjoying going around the room and reading those particular pieces from the newspaper?
Yes. The adults always tend to read a little deeper. I'm not favoring adults, but we do tend to read a little deeper into things. And there's a certain nostalgia behind reading the cartoons, although they are still produced. We have one there for a gentleman named Tracker Bob, and this is at the end of the exhibit. We've invited people to bring in their own oddities, and he was our first person to step up, and he was actually in Ripley's Believe It or Not, I think in 2010, for having the world's largest collection of 8-track tapes.
I believed it. Out of Ripley's Believe It or Not, I believed it because I saw them.
I've seen the pictures. I believe it, too. Almost 65,000 of them.
Well, that's one of the things that you've brought to this exhibit. You're encouraging people to bring in or submit or loan some of their own oddities. So, and this is alongside the pieces in the traveling exhibit. So there's a, you know, there's a local dimension to it. There's a local feel as well.
Mm-hmm. And after Tracker Bob was featured in the Peoria Journal Star, more people have come forward. We have some really, really neat things on deck to be displayed next. And everyone is invited to come to the Oddities Roadshow. That's the Bazaar Buying Bazaar. The curator from the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum is going to be here on August 8th, 9th, and 10th. And he will evaluate your weird stuff. And if it's really weird and he likes it, he'll make an offer right there on the spot.
Talk a little bit more about the interactive displays. One thing that, again, I appreciated when I was there the other day, the squealing and the excitement from the children. And I would think that would be something the museum people would like to hear, is that the, look at that.
We love to hear kids squealing. Enjoy. Enjoy and wonder, because there are some really cool things. The animatronic statue of or model of Robert Wadlow is so cool. This was an Illinois native who had a disease that caused the pituitary gland to malfunction and did not stop growth. Normally, your growth hormone would stop, and it didn't. So he grew to be 8'11". The tallest man ever. So there's this model, and it's sitting there. And when you walk by, he stands up. And the children squeal in delight. It is really wonderful.
Well, his antithesis, talk about Little Major Might.
Well, also from Illinois. And his little tuxedo is hanging in a display case at the end of the exhibit.
Yeah, he's the littlest guy in America.
Littlest guy and the tallest guy.
You've obviously had a fair amount of time to spend with the exhibit. Is there a piece that's becoming one of your favorites? Is there one that draws you in particularly? And I know that's like asking you to pick your favorite child, but do you have a favorite?
I do, and it's so hard to see. Well, there are microscopes, and there is a digital microscope with a TV screen as well. There is an artist working in London who makes the tiniest sculptures. I would like to say, believe it or not, they are so small, they fit in the eye of a needle.
Hmm.
And it is absolutely fantastic to look through this microscope. And when you look underneath and look at the needle, you can barely see it. And you can barely see that there is an eye in the needle. And then you look under the microscope, and there's this perfect little sculpture sitting in there. How does he do it? Well, if you look at the computer screen, you can see that he meditates. He slows down his heart rate. He only works in between heartbeats. He works with a microscope, and he has to be very careful not to inhale quickly while he's working, lest he inhale his artwork, which has happened before.
You were saying earlier that a lot of the artifacts in the exhibit are accompanied by informational text pieces, and that engages the adults more than the children. So, but I assume there's another element then that's also designed to get the children more engaged. What kind of different strategies do you have to employ to reach that younger demographic?
Well, children like to learn in different ways. Oftentimes, it's a physical way. So there is a model of the largest snake that ever existed, and that is Titanoboa. And we are happy that it is no longer with us, but rather extinct. And it grew to be longer than a school bus. And there's a model right in the center of the exhibit, and children can crawl through it. So they just love to crawl through it. And as they go through it, displays light up, and they're engaged by that, and they can learn about the digestive system of the snake as they're crawling through. So there are things that engage them physically that get them to also learn in other ways.
And it seems to me I saw a very, very low puzzle that there are things really almost on the floor for the little children, the 2 to 3 year old children.
Yes, yes, there are. There are things, displays of tiny little creatures, and you have to get under a desk to see them all. And you and I, Suzette, may not appreciate that. I didn't like crawling through the snake that much, but I did it.
I didn't go through the snake when I was there the other day.
You're going to have to come back.
And what was the process of bringing this to Peoria? Is this a traveling exhibit, and you reached out and said at some point we'd like to host this in our location, or was this a special event and you sort of had to bid to be one of the museums to present it?
Actually, we had visited Science North in Sudbury, Ontario, and we were looking at a different exhibit that didn't turn out to be what we wanted, but we started a relationship with the folks there at Science North, and they do surveys with museums they have worked with to gauge what kind of interest there would be in new exhibits that they're developing. And so we got in on the ground floor talking about this exhibit, and then we expressed very strong interest in renting it when it was finally made. So we were involved in the planning process for the exhibit. In conference calls, they would float an idea. Do you think your visitors would like this? And what kind of science do you want to bring forth with this concept or this object? So we were really involved with this, and we were so pleased with how it turned out.
We'll leave it to technology, but to me there's great affirmation about how popular it is by seeing so many photos of children and their families right on Facebook. Are you aware of the numbers of children that are coming to the event?
There are so many every day. I can hear them in my office, which is great because my office is like a bunker. But you go upstairs and you just hear all the laughter and the people. We had the exhibit open for 1 week at the very end of school field trip season. And it was a short week because of Memorial Day, only 4 days. And I think there were 1,400 school children came through that week. It was awesome.
We've been talking with Ann Schmidt from the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Their exhibit, The Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not, runs through September 7th. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Nathan.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on our website. That's peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.